KRWM, HD3, Bremerton, Seattle.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and the topic that I chose for today's show is something that there's a lot of buzz in the medical field and also with holistic practitioners, and that's the connection between inflammation and different diseases that we're experiencing. So the topic of today's show is cooling the fire of chronic inflammation. It's a topic that's really important for us to understand, especially as we age, because it really has a lot of the effects on the degeneration of the heart. It's tied to the muscles and to the bones. And then another impact of it is that there's also a connection between inflammation, obesity, and diabetes. And because we're having so much obesity issues and so much diabetes being and everything, that it really is an increasing problem. And again, we're beginning to learn so much more about what seems to be a natural response of the immune system, how suddenly it goes awry. It really can create a lot of problems. In addition to talking about inflammation, I'm going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me, I'd love to share my medical intuitive skills with you. You have a question for me about your health or a question in general, maybe relationships, things that are going on in your life, decisions. The energy is really kind of high and low right now and feels like a lot of tension in the air. We can talk about that. But if you do have a question for me, I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada. And then international callers, call 877-230-3062. And, of course, you just have to dial your international calling code before that number. I just posted my October reading schedule, so if you've been wanting to have a reading with me, I encourage you to go online to my website, www.ritberger.com. Readings are actually scheduled online, but you can actually go to my website and find out what can you expect from a reading or why do you even want a reading, because what it'll do is it'll give you an idea to be sure that what you're going to be considering is going to fit your needs. It'll have the information on what to expect from a reading, also the cost, and as I said, you can book online. In the readings itself, they really do vary. Of course, the first thing is being a medical intuitive. A lot of people will have asked me about their health, but also we can talk about relationships, your soul's purpose, sacred agreements that you have with people in your life. I've found that that's been very helpful with people to be able to help them understand why these people are in your life and what can you learn from them and how do you impact their lives and what can you do, and that this is a soul dance and something that has basically been agreed upon, if we believe in that stuff, which many people do. But if we do this dance before and we make all these agreements, it's really helpful for us to remember those agreements, and I can help with that as well. So if you are interested in getting a reading, I do encourage you to go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Well, inflammation, most of us are familiar with it because it's actually a part of the body's natural defense system against infection, pathogens, allergens, toxins, and other foreign substances such as viruses or bacteria. And when the immune system is healthy, what it does is it actually only produces enough of the white blood cell count, or the white blood cells, and the creatine, the cytokine and the creatine that's little. Easy for me to say, necessary for us to be able to deal with whatever the body's dealing with at that moment. So the design is something creates a problem within it. The immune system becomes alerted. It takes and it goes into action. It's inflammatory reaction. Trying to do in the inflammation is it's trying to basically, as it sounds, it's trying to basically burn out what is happening or immobilize it wherever the issue is, to the point where it doesn't continue to wreak havoc with the body or else even go systemic anywhere in the body. But when we age and when we're under a lot of stress and we tend to be overweight, then what happens, and of course diet and lifestyle also plays into this, but what happens is that natural balance of the immune system shifts, and then rather than producing only what's needed to actually deal with something that's occurring at that moment, what occurs is the immune system becomes overreactive, or what I call hypervigilant, and as a result, it goes into this constant secreting this inflammatory reaction, and it's basically saying to the body, I'm not sure exactly what the problem is, but I'm on guard. I'm going to be able to do what I need to, but it doesn't stop. It just continues to produce the inflammatory reaction, and then what we end up with is this chronic state of inflammation. And that inflammation, while it may start in one isolated part of the body, such as a part of the body that's been injured, or maybe it's being attacked by a virus or bacteria, what it'll do is it goes systemic, and then it travels throughout the entire body. It's an interesting thing with chronic inflammation, is it's kind of like a catch-22. And what I mean by that is the very thing that your immune system is designed to do to help you heal and to help you and to help protect you over the course of time can be the very thing that can create a lot of the problems. The other thing that's fascinating in the catch-22 of inflammation is that when we gain weight, it creates inflammation. And yet inflammation causes us to gain weight. So it's kind of like a vicious cycle. A lot of the obesity issues we're having right now has to do with this inflammatory reaction of what's happening in the physical body. Chronic inflammation has been linked to allergies. I mentioned Alzheimer's disease, anemia, osteoarthritis, cancer, congestive heart failure, diabetes, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibrosis, also hardening of the arteries, heart attack, kidney failure, lupus, pancreatitis, psoriasis, and stroke. And we're even learning more and more about all of the things that it's really tied to. So knowing this, what causes chronic inflammation? Well, the primary contributor really is diet. And it's a diet that is laden with sugar, has a lot of animal fat to it, processed foods that are cooked at real high heat, such as potato chips, diets that are high in where it actually creates a high glycemic load in the body, where it's requiring the pancreas and insulin and the dynamics of the digestive system to be able to work with the glucose. And then also gluten-laden foods can be an allergen and a pathogen to many people, and actually can continue that inflammatory response to the point where it creates problem. The gluten foods are wheat, barley, rye, and oats. And one of the things is that people who tend to have a gluten sensitivity tend to have this inflammation and also tend to be overweight. One of the other things that is tied to the chronic inflammation is it's called Syndrome X or metabolic syndrome. So if you've been diagnosed with either of those, or people, if a holistic practitioner or physician has talked to you about that, then what you're going to want to do is you really are going to want to look at your diet to see what you can do to quell this inflammation, this fire, and this chronicness about it. Other factors, I mentioned stress. I can't mention stress enough when it comes to inflammation, because the two just go hand in hand. Sleep deprivation. The human body really needs 6 to 9 hours of sleep. What we're finding in a lot of the wellness of the body and the research that's being done, we really do need, in order for the body to be able to maintain its balance and to restore itself the way it's designed, we need a minimum of 7 hours of sleep. And I'm sure that there's a lot of listeners out there that don't get 7 hours of sleep, but it's very important, because sleep deprivation is one of the triggers for chronic inflammation. Also, environmental allergens. A lot of people who have candida, chronic yeast infections, chronic bacterial infections, chronic infections of the skin, also heavy metals, they have a higher predisposition of inflammation as well. In fact, a research study that I actually went and found online when I was doing all this to prepare for the show is that this study showed that people who sleep 4 to 5 hours a night have a 60% chance of an increase of an inflammation issue in their physical body. One of the primary markers of chronic inflammation is C-reactive protein, and this is actually detected in a blood test. Now, a lot of the blood tests that we get, and one of the one is a lipid panel, as it's called, many times that doesn't actually measure C-reactive protein. So if you are going to have blood work done, I would encourage you to talk to your physician and ask if it's going to include a C-reactive protein reading, and if not, see if that particular blood test could be taken as well, because that is a marker specifically for stroke and heart disease. As a medical intuitive, I've really spent a lot of time reading people that are dealing with inflammation, and I found that there's some consistent patterns. When it comes to inflammation, what I find is it tells me a lot as a medical intuitive about a person's state of mind, and then that state of mind and how that state of mind is affecting their state of the body. Chronic can be chronic thoughts, chronic attitudes, chronic negative emotions, chronic patterns of behavior, habits, comfort zones, lack of sleep, and again, chronic stress. People who are prone to chronic inflammation struggle with finding balance in their life. It's a balance between work and play, a balance between relaxation and stress, a balance in their pH in their blood. People who tend to be more acidic in their pH have a higher predisposition. In fact, another research study showed that 80% of people who are more acidic and have a higher acidity level on a chronic sustained basis, 80% increase in the predisposition for developing chronic inflammation. It's important that we keep our pH in the body as close to normal, which is 7.0 to 7.2, and we could even be a little more alkaline. But when we start running into the 5.5 to 6.5 range, then we have a higher predisposition for the chronic inflammation. So balance is very, very important. Balance psychologically, balance physically, and then balance in how we get our body and restoring and sleep. One of the things I've also found as a medical intuitive is people with chronic inflammation tend to have this low-grade anxiety around life, and they become very easily irritated with other people, but more importantly, irritated with themselves. They tend to have unrealistic expectations. They are self-critical. They have self-sabotage behavior, that actually can cause them to become irritated, resentful, frustrated, angry. I always find that the word anger and inflammation are bosom buddies. They go hand in hand. I also find personalities who tend to suppress their emotions and suppress them because they want to not rock the boat, or they just feel like they need to keep it inside. All of those things, frankly, are very unhealthy from the standpoint of an inflammation process. And again, I mentioned self-directed anger. Edgar Cayce said in one of his readings is that anger is like taking poison and waiting for you to die. What it does, as he said, is that anger in that poison weakens the immune system, and then the immune system isn't able to heal the body. So self-directed anger is something that we really do need to watch. And I always encourage people to find a constructive way for you to be able to let that anger come to the surface, so it doesn't have to come to the surface in the case of a skin eruption. And that can be herpes, zoster. It could be shingles. It can be psoriasis. It can be hives, any of those things. A lot of those things are tied to inflammation as well. The other thing I've found is that people who have a high predisposition for chronic inflammation also tend to be perfectionists, and they become easily disgusted and frustrated with themselves, especially when they don't feel they can do anything or do anything well. Again, it goes back to this self-criticalness. They're overachievers, they're overburdened, and they're always living overwhelmed. They feel that if they have actually more than their fair share of helping, they feel like they're not supported. That's the metaphor I find from the standpoint of the osteoarthritis, and that skeletal frame not feeling supported actually is a degenerative disease of the bones itself. They feel like other people don't care, other people are disappoint them, they're disappointed in themselves, and other people don't reciprocate. And this one I could so relate to when I was doing this research, is they push themselves to the point of exhaustion, and they actually experience burnout. And you know, no matter how much we love what we're doing, we kind of get into it a lot and sometimes too much, and we forget about that balance. So if you want to really look at the psychological aspects of how we deal with inflammation in those psychological coffers, the key word is balance. And it's taking time, whether it's 5 minutes a day or an hour a day or 3 hours a day, whatever you need in order to balance your life so you can shift your perceptions. You can look at your task differently. You can walk away from what you do or walk away from people or the stress or the press, whatever it may be. And then you can find a healthy way to be able to express that joy, that desire, that passion, that interest that you have. That goes a long way to being able to quell the inflammation and cool it down as much as if we were going to change lifestyle and change our diet as well. So the other thing that I just wanted to kind of close up before I'm going to actually go in and start taking some calls on this is that, you know, loneliness is a very insidious process. And I have found as a medical intuitive, a lot of time when people are dealing with being lonely and they live alone, their mind tends to spin, that monkey mind as the Tibetans speak of, and they ruminate on things over and over again. And that really does cause a lot of inner irritation. And that inner irritation, again, can lead to literally physical irritation of the immune system. So I hope that gives you a well-rounded picture of what this inflammation really is, what it does, the purpose that it serves when it's healthy, and actually the destruction that it can cause when it goes amok. And that means that immune system goes amok. I am going to be sharing more in the next segment on the things that you can do from the standpoint of psychologically and physically to be able to change the thoughts and the attitudes and then also lifestyle changes. But right now I want to jump right in. Hi, Pat from Connecticut. Hi, sweetie. How are you? Hi, Pat.
Struggling.
Well, hi there. I could feel your energy, my love. How are you today?
Thank you. I love you so much. I'm doing okay. I just moved, and you have helped me with my dog that I rescued before, Chance. He's got fear aggression. And I just sort of want to know how he's doing. It's a whole new situation for him. We're in an apartment building now. And he, you know, feels the need to bark when anyone walks by. And I just, health-wise and just
well, the one thing is that, and I know you know this, but I'm going to share this because you are so wonderful with making the call. Animals are very expressive of what we're feeling inside. Mm-hmm. That we don't necessarily find the right avenues or the vehicles to be able to express it. Change is as difficult, as you know, on animals as it is on you. I can feel the apprehension in you. I can feel the apprehension in the dog. The dog, when the dog barks, is just doing what the dog's designed to do. The dog is trying to protect you. Now, your neighbors don't understand that. So one of the things that you could do is that you could go and introduce yourself. And then talk to them about, you know, the dog and let them meet the dog and everything. And what that'll do is it could help the dog as well. So you could do that. The other thing is, honey, we know that because, and you said this, but because you and I've worked together, is that we know this dog being rescued is going to have a lot of deep emotional trauma that is buried in that dog psyche the same way we do in that human psyche. And one of the things is that very sensitive to you and your anxiety and the nervousness and kind of the apprehension part of it, my sense is that the dog is going to express a lot of that behavior as well. Mm-hmm. So if you can, you know, there's things because we've talked also about the bond that the two of you have. It is very, very deep. This dog is a very much of a healing angel for you. You're a healing angel for this dog as well. So there's, you know, it goes even beyond what we think about human-pet relationship. So one of the things is it's important to spend time to bond with the dog and to let the dog feel comfortable and to do the things that are predictable. Animals need that consistency and that predictability, as you know that. And then walk. Take the dog for a walk so the dog can become familiar with the areas and everything. One of the things that your dog just said to me, Carol, could you help my human deal with this anxiety that she's got inside that she doesn't feel safe? Is that true?
Oh, yes. I'm going to cry. Yes.
So what the? Oh, you are. You are. And again, you are. And ooh, I just got goosebumps all over. I want to thank your dog for sending that to me. So one of the things is with this safety part, while you're working with the dog with the neighbors, it's important for you, honey, to take the time and make the time to go and become very familiar with your surroundings and very familiar with finding places that you can go to, because we know, you and I know from the work we've done, that you connect very, very deeply with nature. That's very important to your well-being. So there's going to be things like that. But it's like this dog is saying to me, help my mom be safe and then I'm going to feel safe. So that's something for you to do. The dog's health overall is very good. It feels like there's a couple of behavioral things that have popped up. Is that accurate? Besides the barking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I can't introduce him to people because he's at risk of lunging and barking.
Okay. Well, what you can do is just get him out with people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just let him feel safe also. And then go and, you know, talk to your neighbors if you're concerned about the things, or, you know, even create a flyer. Hi, I'm new in the building and I have a dog and the dog is adjusting and everything. And, you know, please let me know if it's a problem. Whatever words you want, sweetie, it's an opportunity for you to be able to talk about things. So excuse me for using this kind of eloquence, but your dog is really, I'm going to say, I think I can say it, pissed off, tired, frustrated as you've been. The move is good. The move is the right move for you. But one of the things with the dog is you might notice that there's more urination. There's a lot more maybe marking, the need to be able to do things. It isn't that there's a real, I want to call a behavioral problem from the standpoint that this is going to be consistent. It's just part of this change dynamics that I'm feeling as well. The other thing is that if I remember correctly when we've talked, you work with flower essence, don't you, sweetie?
Sometimes, yeah. I've been using lavender for my heart.
Okay, good. And one of the things that I encourage you to do is I want you to go and look in your dog's eyes, and I want you to ask your dog what your dog needs. One of the things is it needs some rescue remedy in its water.
Okay.
And the other thing is it feels like it probably needs maybe some basil or something that is a calming that has to do with the immune system. Go in and look at flower essence and see what can be done for urinary issues. He doesn't have a urinary tract infection. I know that it's more of a marking type situation, but some things that you can do to calm him down a little bit. Those adrenals are beating like tom-toms, and I think that's what you're concerned about. But you can do it with flower essence. I mean, the dog responds very, very well. And the other thing is that when you look in that dog's eyes, you look at yourself. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I know.
And when that dog looks in your eyes, that dog can see itself as well.
Yeah. Is he saying I'm scared in general with life because I am, or is he saying in that area where we walk?
Right now it's in life. This is a big, you know, it feels to me like it's a huge leap of faith for you to have done this.
But
you know what, sweetie, you have been preparing yourself for this for at least a year and a half.
Yeah.
And it isn't, contrary to what you may feel and what maybe others are thinking about you, this isn't you just chasing pipe dreams or running away from things. This is a process of you moving into your own skin, your own space. It's the same thing with the dog as well, but it's a methodical process.
Okay. All right.
And if you can remember that you've been doing this for a long time, and when other people, you know, shut you out, which is a pattern, instead of going, oh my gosh, they're shutting me out, maybe the door needed to close.
Right.
And there is one person very close to you that's closed the door, haven't they?
I don't know. You mean my son?
Yes. Are you feeling that way?
Well, his girlfriend has kept him away from me, and I don't know how much he wants to be away, but he's actually worked to come around a lot more.
Good. You want to keep that going. You want to keep that. You don't want that door to close.
Why did he close it on me?
because it was easier to close it than it was to step forward and to set some boundaries. That's what it feels like to me. Uh-huh. She feels like she's very insecure. She feels like she has got something that's really, really good that she doesn't want anybody else to have anything to do with it or undermine it anything. There's a lot of insecurities in her is what I'm picking up. And I really just think that for your son, it just basically at this point in time, as much as it may sound terrible, it's more of a hassle than have to deal with it than it is to deal with it. I really do believe that because the connection between the two of you is strong. But it does feel to me that you feel inside something has really shut down and I've got so much isolation around you. And the reason you moved was to change that pattern. So let's work on that pattern, sweetie.
Okay. Okay. Is Chance going to be happy there eventually?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Anywhere that you are, the dog will be happy.
God bless you so much. I couldn't believe that I got through today. It's so hard to reach you. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, you are so welcome. And thanks for your kind words. Gosh, Lee, you've got me goosebumps all over and smiling over. Absolutely, absolutely wonderful. So great job and a lot of trusting yourself. Gold stars to you, sweetie. Big work.
Thank you. You are most welcome.
All right. So let me go ahead and jump in and take a commercial break right now. I'm going to be back to talk about inflammation. If you've got a question for me, give me a call. I'll give you a phone number when we get back. Stay tuned.
Is your chance to be part of the show. Call 877-230-3062. Call in with your questions or thoughts and talk with the host and their guest. Again, that number is 877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Welcome back. And if you're just joining me, I've been talking about chronic inflammation and how it's really, we're finding in the research, it really is an underlying factor in a lot of health issues that we didn't realize that there was a real connection. We've known that there's a connection as far as a chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and even lupus because of the fact that it's tied to the immune system. But now we're finding that it's tied to psoriasis and pancreatitis and sinusitis and a lot of the yeast infections that we have and so forth. So again, very, very important from the standpoint of quelling the inflammation. So I talked about inflammation, what it is, things that we can do. I shared as a medical intuitive what we can do from a psychological standpoint. What I want to do in this segment is to take it to the next step and share with you some things that you can do to help cool that fire of inflammation and not only for the health and well-being of the body, But as I mentioned in the first segment, is that inflammation creates weight gain, and weight gain creates inflammation. So if we want to do part of this dietary changes from a kind of an energetic standpoint of being able to lose weight, we really need to lose the inflammation as well. So again, catch 22. I'm going to be having a free Your Health teleclass. It's going to be taking place on September 29th at 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. That's 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The topic of this month is Candida. It's that yeast fungus infection, that yeast fungus dynamics in the small intestine and digestional tract that really, when it stays, again, kind of like inflammation, when it stays in check, everything works well. When we get too acidic, we get too much stress, we get too much out of balance, not only in the foods that we eat, or we combine foods wrong, or we eat foods that are allergens to us, we get that inflammation, and then it changes the dynamics of that yeast fungus in the small intestine, and the next thing we know, we start suffering from yeast infections. One of the things with the yeast infections, antibiotics are a major contributor to candida, but one of the things with yeast infections is that they can either remain in the digestive tract, or for a lot of people, it'll actually go in and it will trigger this response. Excuse me, I kind of lost my track there because so many things started coming out. What it can do is it'll go systemic, and then what it'll do is it can go in and create thrush in the mouth, again, ear infections. It can actually go to the skin itself, and it can go and create headaches. And one of the things that we're finding around Candida, that yeast infection, is that a lot of times migraine headaches, we can track back to that actual yeast infection. Not only am I going to be talking about that Candida, I'm going to be talking about the hidden psychological meanings behind it, how it affects the chemistry of the body and the energy of the energy body, the role your personality plays in increasing the susceptibility of having chronic candida or chronic yeast infections. And then immediately following the teleclass, like I do every time, I do these once a month, then what I do is I'll take calls, as I'm doing right now on my show, right after the teleclass, and answering as many questions as time allows. The teleclass is free. If you suffer from chronic yeast infections or candida, or know someone, then the call, the conference is September 29th, 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. You can actually register online on my website, www.ritberger.com. When you're there registering, because again, it's free, then what you might want to do is also go to teleclass products. And what you'll do is you'll see that I've also done teleclasses on 25 different illnesses that are featured in my Your Health teleclass series. These different downloads, there's both an MP3 audio download and a printable PDF on each one of these 25 different illnesses. They are available for purchase. I even have a try before you buy feature, so you can listen to a brief snippet of the audio, or you can actually read a page of the PDF. So again, September 29th, 5 p.m., Your Health Teleclass, Candida. Check out the different illnesses I have on there. Very comprehensive explanations of what each one of those illnesses are. And you'll hear me talk about over and over again illnesses versus disease. It's important, and I think it's important that I tell you the differentiation. Disease is an actual change in the pathology of an organism. That's what medicine focuses on. Illness is part of the dynamics of that change, but it's more the psychological aspects of how we experience the different diseases in our body and what we can do psychologically in that healing, psycho-spiritual healing model, to the point that we can actually make a difference through what we think and how we feel in the healing process, as well as just dealing with the physical body. So again, you can register online, www.ritberger.com, or try before you buy any of the 25, www.ritberger.com. So the best way to really deal with inflammation from a physical standpoint is to really change your diet. And then the second thing is to exercise. But you don't want to do a lot of exercise, because if we overexert the body, then what occurs is the body becomes fatigued. It changes the chemistry of the body. And the next thing we know, over-exercising the body creates an overreaction in the immune system, and it can overreact the inflammation response as well. So when I'm talking about exercise, one of the very best exercises that you can do on a daily basis for inflammation is walk. Just doing a nice, brisk walk, get outdoors, get a change of scenery. That's a psychological change. And then just go for a walk, a 15-minute walk, a 30-minute walk, whatever your schedule allows. Maybe it's two 15-minute walks and everything. But just get out, and that's one of the best exercises that you can do. Another exercise that works really well for inflammation is swimming. So those are things that you can look for. Changing your diet and finding out what you're allergic to, or if you do have allergies. But one of the things that we are finding with inflammation is you do want to eliminate as much as possible sugar, white foods, that means flour, processed foods, and so forth, because they tend to create an inflammatory response. The other thing is you want to stay away from processed foods that are cooked in oil or cooked at a very high temperature, because that changes the dynamics of how the food is digested. And then also you will want to go in and see if you are gluten sensitive or gluten intolerant. Remember, as I said, that if you do suffer from celiac disease and you know that you have to stay away from gluten, even more important for you to take that dynamics of your knowledge and expand it even further and see what you can do to quell the inflammation. So what can you do from foods? You want to eat what I call real foods. These are foods that are as close to nature as possible. Anything that you eat, if it has more than five ingredients, think about whether you want to put it in your mouth. If it has ingredients in there that you can't pronounce the words, you might want to rethink whether you're going to eat those things. If it has MSG or natural flavoring, you're going to want to rethink whether you want to eat those items. And again, if you do suffer from inflammation or your blood work has shown that you have high levels of C-reactive protein, what that is doing is it's telling you you have an inflammation marker for increased heart failure and heart disease. And that's something that's, you know, very, very serious, of course. So you want to look at that. So when we think of real foods, we want fruits and vegetables. You want wild fish. You're going to want to really think about whether you want the farm raised. I'm not anti anything. I need to tell all of you that. But I think that part of this process is that we need to think about things. There's a lot of fish, the farming of fish right now that's more sustainable, that's healthier, where they're not packing them in, where they're having to use antibiotics to be able to protect them, or they're using growth hormones to be able to make them grow faster, to be able to bring them to market. So again, wild fish, whole grains, as long again as you're not sensitive for gluten. And then also you don't want to eat any meat or poultry or fish that isn't grass-fed or organically fed, or that is in a healthy, sustainable process, specifically about fish. You might want to go in. I know that there's markets in California. Whole Foods, which is national, actually has started to categorize the types of fish that is the healthiest to the least healthy. So you might want to become familiar with their different categorization. There's a lot of independent healthy health food markets that are doing the same thing. So again, I think what I'm really saying is be mindful of what you put in your mouth, and then be very careful that what you put in your mouth is as close to nature as possible. Nuts and seeds, beans, but also be sure that whatever you do isn't fried, and then also doesn't have a lot of salt. Eat the right fats, olive oil, flaxseed oil. A lot of controversy around coconut oil. I understand that, but there's research to show that coconut oil is very effective in quelling the inflammation. Eat complex carbohydrates, not the simple kind, not the kind that's going to spike the glycemic index. You want carbohydrates that is going to metabolize, that are going to metabolize slowly and give you what you're looking for. Eat dark chocolate. You only need a small amount, about an ounce a day or an ounce three times a week. The higher the cocoa content, you want to eat anything with cocoa 80% and above. Very, very good for inflammation. You want to avoid distilled alcohol and white wine. And the primary reason for that is because of the distillation process, the sugar content, and then also the sulfites. One of the things we know is that about 5 to 6 ounces of red wine on a daily basis does help with the inflammatory response. Eat smaller portions and more often. Be sure to eat breakfast. That's the most important meal, truthfully, during the day. To not miss, because what it does is it establishes the whole routine of your metabolism and how you're going to be working with glucose and then the insulin process as well. And then try not to eat your last meal after 7 p.m. I understand that sometimes that's difficult, but it's something to work with. There's herbs that help reduce inflammation, green tea, cayenne pepper, ginger, also curcumin, turmeric, some people call it cocoa. And then also there's things managing stress, very important. Practice relaxation techniques. Yoga is extremely effective in helping quell the inflammation. Also look at vitamins. Look at the quality of your vitamin. B complex, magnesium, vitamin C, zinc are all known to really help from a vitamin supplement standpoint to help quell the inflammation. And then also what you might want to do is talk to your doctor about getting on a low dosage of aspirin on a daily basis. Again, I always encourage when you're going to do something on a daily, regular basis for a prolonged period of time, it's important to talk to your physician or your holistic practitioner that you're working with to be sure, because aspirin really helps with the inflammation, but it can be difficult on the stomach. But the low dosage seems to help there. So again, dialogue. And the most important thing is we really need, as a society in the United States, to get more sleep. There's a lot of good books on C-reactive protein and inflammation. There's one that I especially like. It's called Ultra Metabolism by Dr. Mark Hyman. He has a great website. You can go in and sign up for his emails. It's a good common sense book. Also, the book on the Mediterranean diet, there's a book called The Sonoma Diet. A lot of people have a lot of success with inflammation by Eat Right, Play Your Blood Type. Again, I understand controversy, but it is a good book. And then also check out Dr. Andrew Weil's website and the different things that he has. He has a wonderful blog, as Dr. Mark Hyman does, and you can actually go in, and they deal with a lot of the issues that we're dealing with as we age and we become more stressed. So lots of information there to be able to help you with. So what I want to do in is I want to jump now, and let's take Karen from Minneapolis. Hi, Karen. How are you, sweetie?
Well, hi, Carol. Great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How can I help you?
Well, you've answered several of my questions, but I have severe to moderate arthritis, literally from head to toe.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned several things, but I was wondering if there's anything specific I can do to slow this process down or stop it.
The first thing is that I pick up it's genetic. Is that accurate?
I'm not sure because I don't really know both sides of my family.
Okay. So what it feels like to me is it's genetic on your mother's side, your grandmother.
Oh, okay.
And so the first thing I wanted to bring that up is there's a genetic predisposition. What that means, honey, is that you haven't done anything wrong. There was a predisposition. And if you can accept that that is just part of your DNA and your makeup, if it feels right to you, it isn't accepting that you have the arthritis. It's accepting the fact that there's that predisposition. Then what you'll do is you'll stop looking so hard to figure out what you've done to cause this.
Oh, okay.
That's going to be big for you. And the reason I say that is that there is a natural pattern in your upbringing to always, it feels like with you and with your family, that you've always done something wrong. Is that true?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Okay. Well, I want to say with great love, you're not alone. There's a whole bunch of us out there that are doing that. But again, the other thing is that it isn't anything that you did wrong. So now let's take a different approach with it. The things that you can do to be working with it, you feel like you're on medication. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. I would also accept the medication. It is necessary for you to take it. What you can do is you can look for ways to be able to counteract the different side effects that it has within you, because what it does is, while it's solving one problem, it is in fact keeping that inflammatory reaction going down in the body. It's keeping that immune system involved in it. On one hand, we want the immune system involved. On the other hand, we would like it to take a little bit of R&R and not always be involved. So there's things that you could do from a dietary standpoint. You might want to look at doing some energy work. Do you do acupuncture?
No, I don't. I go to a chiropractor, and I'm planning to start craniosacral therapy.
Very good. Very good. That was going to be my next suggestion. That would be very, very good, because what it'll do is it will balance the cerebral spinal fluid, which will balance the pH in the blood, that'll balance the pH in the immune system, and then that will turn that inflammatory response down and ultimately could help turn it off to where the inflammation only occurs when you need it instead of all the time. One of the wonderful things with cranial sacral work is that vagus nerve number 10 in the right around the occiput area in the ear area goes down, and that cranial nerve goes down into the digestive system. And what it does is it helps the brain read what's really going on, so that will be very, very helpful for you. The other thing that reason I suggested acupuncture was from the standpoint that what it'll do is it'll keep your chi flowing through your body all the way down to your toes the way it needs to, and it won't tend to build up in your mid back and in your lower back. And so that can help you as well. I would try the cranial sacral and then make sure that that works for you. It feels to me like you're still questioning it, maybe not enough information. Have you actually found a practitioner that does cranial sacral?
I have. She's a ways away, and I've been trying to find one closer and just haven't been able to yet.
Okay. Have you gone to John Upledger's website?
No.
UPL, it's John, of course, J-O-H-N, Upledger, UPLEDGER.com. And what you do is, John has created a lot of the craniosacral training that is so effective right now, that we've been really seeing a lot of benefit from the standpoint of health and overall well-being. And what you do is you enter your zip code, and if there are any Upledger trained craniosacral therapist or practitioners in your area, then their names will come up and then you can call them. Most important thing, sweetie, with where you are right now in your life, because you've done a lot of work to find your voice, you really have to feel like you can talk to that person. You feel like you can trust that person. If you don't, it's not that they're bad, they're wrong. Just find yourself someone else. Trust is a big issue right now. You've worked really, really hard trusting yourself, learning to trust others, and we want to keep that momentum going.
Yes, indeed. You mentioned medication before. I was taking methotrexate, and she removed that for a while to see if it was helping or not. It seems like it was. I just don't want to have to take it. But you mentioned I probably do have to take some medication. Is this one
you
I
do.
Should get back on?
You do, sweetie. Again, anybody that knows my show knows I'm not anti-medicine. I'm not anti-prescriptions. Sometimes the body just needs it. Now, if you, again, because trust is a big thing, if you have questions about the actual medication, or you don't trust it, or you don't know enough of maybe long-term side effects or different things, then you can do your homework, you can talk to your doctor about it, and then ask, is there something else that you can take that can give you the same reprieve and relief that I feel like you had, but maybe isn't as difficult on the body? The more you know about the side effects, the easier it'll be for you to sit down and talk to your rheumatologist about this. From the standpoint, you're working with rheumatologists, correct? It felt like it.
Yes.
Yeah. Talk to the rheumatologist and everything and see if there's something else that's available. I know that there is.
Okay.
So, but I can't prescribe, so I can't give you the names or anything. So talk to the rheumatologist.
Okay. So thank you so much.
You are so welcome. All right, Jeannie, how can I help you, sweetie?
Great, great topic. I've been dealing with that quite a bit.
Well, thank you. How can I help you?
I'm having joint pain.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if that's strictly inflammation or something else. The other thing, another question was the nightshade family of foods. I'm wondering if I'm sensitive to that or not.
You are, especially tomatoes.
Oh, okay.
And the joint pain is actually inflammation.
Okay.
There's also, right shoulder. Did you hurt your right shoulder?
I had a serious injury a few years ago.
Okay.
Surgery on it.
Okay. We've still got, there's quite a buildup of scar tissue there. Are you aware of that?
No.
Okay. You might want to look at some topical creams that you could use, Arnaflora, Tremel, that you could use topically for the inflammation.
For that right shoulder?
For that right shoulder.
Okay, I have Tremel. I'll use.
Okay, try that. Also, what you might want to do is you might want to ice it. And the reason for that is it'll tell the brain to release an endorphin that is about an equivalent of 1,200 milligrams of ibuprofen. That's going to help the inflammation. But in that, what I did is when I went to the joints, that joint screamed out and said, you know, this isn't really not what we consider joint pain with inflammation. This has got scar tissue there, sweetie. So you don't have a lot of the movement. And I think your immune system, because of the activity, is reading that wrong, honestly, to the standpoint that I think it's reading that there's injury is still an injury and a problem, but what I've got is I've got some scar tissue.
Okay.
You also might want to look at some aloe cream or something you can do. Do a little bit of research to see what you can do to help soften the scar tissue itself. I understand that it doesn't have a lot of resiliency within it or flexibility in it, but you might do that. The other thing have you been noticing something in your left knee area?
Yes, I have.
Okay. That is inflammation.
Okay.
So what I've got is I've got right side of the body that isn't inflammation that your body thinks it is, and then I've actually got inflammation in that left knee. And one of the things you might do is that you might want to get a knee band or something, a knee brace that you can put on that to help immobilize, still have movement, but immobilize it to the point where it's not going to keep sending that message, I've got a problem down here, and then the inflammation is going down to that area.
Okay.
So in that particular case, again, Tremel cream could help with that as well since you've got it. But it just feels like it's a combination of a tendon.
I actually fell on that knee and damaged it quite a bit.
You did. You did. You hyperextended a tendon and it's still recovering from muscle tension, and I've got a little bit of a tear there that has it. And I don't want to create alarm with you, but let's go in. Let's change the perception of this. When you hyperextended in the way that you fell, the tendon itself feels like it, I want to say separated, but that's really not accurate. I want to just give you a picture. But just think of the tendon as being attached to the bone itself, and then it gets pulled back like a bungee cord, a piece of elastic, really, really quickly. And what it does is it feels like there's a little separation, but there really isn't. And then the muscle itself feels like it was, of course, attached to the tendon, hyper-extended. So take a muscle that's relaxed and all of a sudden stretch it really tight. I've got a little tiny, tiny tear that occurred at that time.
In the muscle?
In the muscle itself that is still healing. It is healing. It's just not healing as quickly as I think you wanted it to heal and to have the flexibility. But it's still there. I think that's part of the inflammation that I'm picking up also. So I can tell you exactly where it is. It is in the hamstring muscle. It is in the right inside
not quite mid-center in the muscle, more to the right side, but by a very little. And it's just a little tiny slit. And what I want you to do is I want you to start visualizing that slit, just, you know, kind of energetically suturing it or closing up or anything, because that's still sending the inflammation response through your body that's causing your body to be overreactive. And that's why I think you're feeling that kind of joint discomfort that you're feeling due to inflammation. So I just go in and just do a, you know, an energetic visualization imagery suturing.
I shall become a surgeon.
Yep, and it's not very big. It's not even as long as your little fingernail.
Okay.
It's about 3/4 of that size.
All right.
Good. Well, thank you very much.
Thank
oh, I want to thank
you, Carol, so much.
You are so welcome, my sweet. I want to thank all of you for joining me today. Interesting topic. It was fun to always share that and share my medical intuitive skills with you. If you want to rehear this show at any point in time, just go to www.ritberger.com. Go to my show archives. It's been wonderful to spend the day with you. Have a great week, and I'll see you next week on the radio. Thanks for joining me.
You've been listening to The Carol Ritberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.ritberger.com. That's www.ritberger.com.